Good morning, church. Today, our main text will be in 1 John 2:18-27. That's 1 John 2:18-27. In the Bible on the chairs, that's on page 693. So this is the fifth sermon in the book of 1 John. Our first sermon was from Trandon. That's been a few months ago. In which he discussed how our relationship with God is built on the truth of God's word. The second sermon came from Scott, in which he preached over 1 John 1:5-2:2, and he emphasized the importance of the condition of our heart before God. The next sermon was from myself in 1 John 2:3-11, in which we looked at in which John put forth a test to have assurance of our faith. How do we know that we know God? And then the most recent sermon was out of 1 John. It was from Trandon, 1 John 2:12-17, which covered the riches of what we have received in Christ, most notably our salvation. And with that, a warning about the love of the things of this world and how that can distract us from what has been gifted to us from God. So before we jump into our text for today, I want to give a little bit more context or a reminder of where we're at in 1 John relating to the church which John is writing to. Now, as we've discussed multiple times now, this church was very well established. John refers to his brothers and sisters in Christ as children. He clearly loves the people of this community, just as a father loves his children, and he wants the best for them. He cares deeply for these people, and as evidenced by this letter, he wants them to continue to grow in their relationship with God. While the church was well established, though, it is obvious that there were some who were trying to proclaim things that were not of the gospel. There were people who claimed to be a Christian, but proclaimed things that were not aligned with the truth. John reminded these followers to focus on the message that they had heard, which was the gospel. Anyone who proclaimed a gospel that contradicted what John and the other disciples had preached was not true. Now, John is an authority on this. He spent time with Jesus during his ministry, and he knew from firsthand accounts what Jesus had preached and what his purpose here on earth was. Not only did he get to hear what Jesus preached, but he also got to experience it. He watched Jesus heal people. He watched Jesus act. He watched Jesus in different circumstances. He knew what the gospel meant because he had seen the gospel in a person, which was Jesus. John didn't just hear the gospel preached to him, but he was taught directly from Jesus, the Son of God himself. He watched the way Jesus lived in accordance with what he had preached. And as we will discuss later, the truth of the gospel was revealed to John by the Holy Spirit. Now, with that in mind, let's read from the Word of God. Again, that's in 1 John 2:18-27. It says this: "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. By this, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you. Remain in him. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you to hear your word preached, God. And today, I'm thankful for the opportunity that you've given me to preach your word, God. And I pray that I preach truth. I pray that I put forth your word with the respect that it deserves, God. Your word is truth, and to that we cling. We cling to you and everything that you've given us in your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So far in 1 John, and continually throughout the book, John is rebuking those who opposed the gospel, which they had heard. Here, he labels them as antichrist. He's not just saying they're people who don't believe the gospel, which they had heard, but they are directly opposed to it. They have manipulated the gospel into a self-serving, more comfortable version. They're here to spread lies and deceit. Their goal is to dissuade those who have heard the gospel and those who have not to lead them astray. Throughout 1 John, he's constantly reminding his readers to remain in the gospel that they first heard. It's obvious that the church was under heavy attack from these antichrists in order to take away as many members from the fold as possible. But before we discuss further what the antichrists are doing and how they're doing that, I want to take a brief look at verse 18. It says this, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come. By this, we know it is the last hour." So, from this verse, we see two things very clearly. One, there is a singular antichrist who will be coming at some point. John goes into further detail about who this antichrist is in Revelations. But we see here that it is not the antichrist who is plaguing this church, but many antichrists who are opposed to the gospel, who are trying to lead the fold away from God. Now, the second thing, and a very important and happy thing that we see in this verse, is that it's because these antichrists are here, it is a further proof that we're living in the time between Jesus' first and second coming. He says, "By this we will know it is the last hour." He's saying that the fact that there are antichrists, people whose goal it is to lead as many people astray as possible, it signifies that we are living in an age in which we are preparing for Jesus to come back to earth. So now that we have a little bit more context as to who the antichrists are, as opposed to the singular antichrist, and context as to who John is writing, we get to our first point, and that is simply that antichrists attack the gospel. As I've mentioned many times already, and we've mentioned in the past sermons as well, John is writing this letter in order to remind the church not to be led astray by these people who are proclaiming a new and false gospel. The historical context of 1 John brings more light into how these false teachers were trying to manipulate and change the gospel to fit their wishes and desires. As John was writing his letter, there were many people, in fact, most of the known world at the time, who were practicing the Greek form of religion. Even the Romans, with their gods, were simply carbon copies of the Greek gods. Zeus was renamed to Jupiter, just to give him a Roman name, and Hera was renamed to Juno, and the list goes on and on. So all of these people were practicing the Greek religion. Even though many people enjoyed the Greek way of religion, they heard the gospel, they recognized that there was something different about it, and they wanted to include that in their religion. So they started manipulating. They wanted to meld the two together. And that is the main attack of the Antichrist in 1 John that we see, but that's not the only way that people manipulate the gospel. Now, based on the word of God, which we have in front of us, it's not possible to meld the two religions together. God states clearly that he is the one and only God, that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. Yet, these Greeks still tried to put them together. It was a false gospel. The gospel that had been preached to this church was the same gospel that we gladly hear here every Sunday. Thank you, Dustin, for that. We get to hear the truth preached, right? That gospel is this. Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, came down to earth as fully man and fully God. He lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross as an innocent man, was buried for 3 days, and rose to life on the third. Because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, he made a way for us to be cleansed of the sins which we are guilty of every day. Now, the gospel, which these antichrists are attacking, centers around one very, very important thing. That is the character, the being, the deity of Christ himself. When antichrists attack the gospel, they're attacking different parts of Christ's character. They may say, oh, he was just a really good man and not actually the Son of God. John says in verse 22, he says, who is a liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. The attack on the gospel, and any attack on the gospel, relates to the character of Jesus. And this attack on the gospel, which John is addressing in his letter, pertains to who Jesus was. They claim that Jesus was not the one and only Son of God. These attackers were trying to take away from Christ's deity and his work of atonement, which is our salvation. The antichrists were attacking Christ's character. We see examples of such antichrists in our world. Living in Utah, we often hear things like, oh, well, he may be a son of God, like we can be sons and daughters of God, they teach, but he is not the Son of God. We hear things like this from our friends and our family who are members of the LDS Church and what they believe. They've been led astray by an antichrist who has come to lie and deceive. Again, the word clearly states that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. There is no other. They manipulate Jesus' being until it is something that they prefer. They're more comfortable worshiping a Jesus who God created instead of the Jesus we believe in, who is God himself. Now, we may look at the LDS Church as an external enemy of the gospel. Now, but it's important to remember the setting of John's message. He says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belonged to us. These antichrists were in the church. They were a part of the community of believers, but they themselves showed that they were not believers because they abandoned the church. There's a quote from Alistair Begg that says, there are some who share for a while our earthly company who do not share our heavenly birth. There are people who go to church, who sit next to you, who we commune with, we eat with, that do not know the truth of the gospel. They don't know Christ. But the threat of these antichrists, which this church faces and that every church faces, is interior in addition to the exterior. We are not Christians if we don't know the truth of the gospel. It's easier, oftentimes, to prepare for an external enemy who tries to spread lies and deceit about our beliefs versus when we see attacks on the gospel that are trying to manipulate little things, things that seem small, yet it significantly changes the way we view the Word of God. Again, the Word of God is the truth. We have the truth in front of us. It takes us reading it and examining it to know what is true, right? But as we'll see later, we get an anointing from the Spirit that reveals that truth to us. As John describes this enemy from within and what they're here to do, he tells us that they will leave the church. We just read in verse 19, again, it says, they went out from us, but they did not belong to us. They abandoned the church and its members. They left the cause of Christ because they were not never a part of it. We see Jesus declare in John 10, 27 through 29, that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And we see clearly, true Christians will not abandon the church. By this, we know that the people who abandoned the church were never truly a part of it. They ignore the calling of Jesus in order to pursue a different gospel that is not true. They leave the church and abandon the cause in order to manipulate its message into a version which they are more comfortable with. Again, this is a reminder that it's important to know what we believe. We have to be studying the Word of God to understand it, to know what is true. What is the gospel? Now, John, again, this is the umpteenth time that John has compelled them to study the Word of God so that they know what the truth is, so that when they hear lies, they can point that out. But how are we to know the truths of God or of the Word compared to the lies that may sound similar to what's in the Bible? Well, that is where the anointing of the Spirit reveals the truth of the gospel. That's our second point. The anointing of the Spirit reveals the truth of the gospel. In verses 20 through 23, John says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well." So, how do we know what is true and what are lies? Well, the Holy Spirit has anointed us with understanding. But what does that mean? What is the significance of the Holy Spirit anointing us with Holy Spirit? Well, when I, a Christian, first heard the gospel as an unbeliever for the last time, the Holy Spirit revealed to me the truth of what the gospel truly entails. The Spirit anointed me with understanding of God's sacrifice. I had heard the words, but it wasn't until that moment that I truly felt the weight of what God's sacrifice meant. I no longer just heard the words of the story, but understood the meaning of what it meant for Jesus, the Son of God, to come down to earth, fully man and fully God, die on the cross, and be raised from the dead after living a perfect and sinless life. That gospel, that good news, was no longer just facts that I knew, but it was the truth that I knew. The Spirit had revealed that to me. Now, as I wrote this sermon, I was constantly being reminded of a scene in the book Pilgrim's Progress. If you've read it, you probably know what section I'm going to be talking about. But Pilgrim, the main character, for so long he had carried a heavy burden on his back that weighed him down. It had beaten him and caused him great pain. Now, as he came upon the place where Jesus died on his journey, which was called Calvary, he couldn't bear it anymore. He fell down. Nothing he had tried could ever remove this burden from his back. But he was crushed by the weight of the sin. But as he looked up to the cross, he saw the meaningless of every sinful desire that he had ever had. He saw the futility of every work he had ever tried to do to remove that weight from his back. He now saw the complete and perfect sacrifice that Jesus had made for him by dying on that cross. He saw the perfect love of God. All the years he had spent trying to rid himself of the burden he had on his back through works of his own seemed foolish. That moment describes what it means to have the truth of the gospel revealed by the Holy Spirit. The realization that no works of my own could ever be enough. The realization that a perfect God would even consider wanting me. Furthermore, the realization that my sin is what put Jesus on the cross. That is what it means to know the gospel. He is our meaning and our purpose. He is the reason why we go about life. He created us. He is our purpose, right? That gospel gives us purpose. We're no longer slaves to sin, but we are sons and daughters of the God who put us there. That gospel is what the Antichrists are trying to attack, to manipulate into serving themselves. The attacks from Antichrist will vary, but they'll center around the same things. They attack the character or the being or the deity of Jesus. How are we to know what the character of Jesus is? Well, the Spirit has anointed us with the truth of who he is. We have been given such a great gift to know God. There's quite literally nothing better than to know God. He is the purpose of everything that exists. And now that John has reminded his readers what the attackers of the gospel are trying to do and how we combat that, he tells his audience of believers to remain with God. And that's our final point for the day. We are to remain with God. In verses 24 through 27, he says this, "What you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. I have written these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, remain in him." Again, John is hammering home the point of what it is to be a Christian. It is to know the gospel, again, what you have heard from the beginning, by knowing the gospel, not just hearing it, but have the Spirit reveal it to us through his anointing, we will know God. That second part of verse 24, I just want to read it again. It says, "If what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father." We, sinners, get to be in the presence of a holy God when we know the gospel and we remain in the gospel. The truth of the gospel means something. It's not just words on a page or coming from someone's mouth. These words mean something, and that something is everything, because the truth of the gospel is my purpose here on earth. It's your purpose. I'm not here to serve my own desires and wants. I'm here to serve the God who created me, who sacrificed his one and only Son on the cross. No one can take that salvation from me, as we discussed in John 10, 27 through 29, which again says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." In 1 John, he reiterates that in verses 26 through 27, saying that no one needed to teach us what the truth of the gospel was because it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. When we hear the gospel preached faithfully from the Word of God, any works that we could ever do mean nothing because the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of that to us. No one can dissuade me from my purpose here on earth because of I've heard the gospel. I'm able to be in the presence of a holy God. Again, a sinner sitting in the presence of a holy God. No antichrist can ever try to teach me a different gospel because I've experienced the true gospel. And there's no imitation that can measure to it. It's the real thing. No fake will ever be the same. I don't need anyone to teach me something that hasn't already been revealed in the gospel already. Now, there are depths to the gospel, which I'm still to learn for sure. And that's why we sit here on a Sunday morning to hear Dustin preach or myself or Trandon and Scott. But the foundation, the truth of what my beliefs are built on has been revealed to me by the Spirit. That truth is true. I know that because the Spirit has been revealed that to me through the Word of God. I know God. I know that I know Him. And I am able to rest in the fact that He knows me. Now, if you're here today and you don't know God, or maybe you thought you knew God and you've come to realize I don't know the truth of the gospel. The Spirit has never revealed that to me. I've never experienced what the true gospel is. In a moment, we'll have a time. Dustin will be in the back if you'd like to go speak with him or myself or any of our church members. We'd love to speak with you about that. But as Landon comes up to sing one final song, I want to go in prayer before God and give you a time to just to think about what is the truth of the gospel. What do you know about the gospel? What has been revealed to you about the gospel? And we'll pray in just now. Lord, we come before you as humble servants to you, God. We are your creation. You've given us breath to breathe, God. You've given us life. You've given us everything, Lord. And when I say everything, I mostly mean you've given your Son to die on the cross for us, for our sins, for the sins that we committed against you. Lord, there's nothing that we could ever do to earn our way back into your fold, God. You are a great and loving God that has sacrificed for us. For your creation, you gave your Son, you gave your life. And we can't do anything to earn that. We can't do anything to add to it, Lord God. And I pray for the members of our church or the people here that may not know you, Lord God. I pray that your Spirit would reveal the truth to them, Lord. I pray that as we go about our lives, God, that we are faithfully preaching your gospel so that the truth can be revealed to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.